Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hail Cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Couldn't be better, Josh. We are less than a week away from kickoff, Arsenal-Leicester.
Thank God.
I've got that. I think I was emailing you the other day. I've got that stomach ache, that excited stomach ache that just won't go away now.
We have done a lot of we have done a season's worth of preview podcasts. I don't really know what I got the bug in like mid-July and early July, I think. And I was like, Brandon, we just got to do a podcast. Let's get going. And I don't know if I realized that I was committing us to 1 week or more. So I think we've done like 2 a week a couple of times.
Yeah, we have built an empire in the last two or three weeks.
I tweeted.
But it's been a really wild summer off. There have been, I think, more interesting summer signings than I can remember in recent seasons.
Yeah, there's been a lot to talk about. There's been a lot of interest. I mean, just the amount of, I mean, even the term FPL, right, with the Fantasy Premier League, FPL was not a term that people were using even like 2 years ago. It just wasn't. I mean, some people were using it, but it wasn't like this instant go-to that everyone used, you know?
People used to call it, are you playing the fantasy game associated with the Barclays Premier League?
It was a bit of a mouthful. So just the fact that there is this kind of community and all these accounts that are FPL, whatever, and there was a lot of conversation that started early this summer, and I think we really wanted to be part of it. So all that said, it's nice to have, you know, a proper Game Week 1 preview podcast, which is what this is. And then what's even better, at least for us, from like a just a research point of view, or the lack of not having to do as much research point of view, from now on we get to react to things that happened instead of trying to preview what's about to come.
Yeah, instead of just trying to guess.
Right, exactly.
A lot of the feedback you see online is, I feel really good about this team that I've set, but I'm kind of just hoping that it works.
Exactly. So we are, and even the advice that we give, right? I mean, a lot of it is stuff that we don't, I mean, we're going to get into this in a little bit, but, you know, questions about, you know, who's going to start in, you know, these key positions for some of these teams. I mean, we're making as much of an educated guess as anybody else, you know, so if that bothers you, stop the podcast.
Stop right now. Stop what you're doing.
And go find a podcast where they pretend that they actually do know.
All right, should I just give a brief rundown of what we're actually going to talk about in this episode, and then we can get started? Okay, so we've all been working on our teams up to this point, fiddling, going through hundreds and hundreds of iterations. So first, Josh and I are going to just give a rundown of how both of our teams are shaping up, what our lineups look like, and then we've got some key big questions, the not necessarily team by team, but we're zeroing in on a couple particular teams that are taking us into game week one. And then we're going to finish off with a straight preview of all the fixtures coming up in game week one.
Exactly. So it's kind of the last preview podcast of the season. And starting next week, it'll be more your traditional reacting to the week that was, you know, key questions, preview, you know, sort of what you typically would expect from this podcast. So I'm excited for that. And by the way, we're recording a little bit earlier today. So if you hear a 10-month-old girl crying in the background, that is my daughter. So just bear with it. And the crying.
A future FPL manager.
That's right. Future FPL manager for sure. Brandon, before we get into the podcast, just a couple of very quick notes. One is, if you haven't joined the completely free Always Cheating Super League, please do join. The code is on our Facebook page, facebook.com/alwayscheating. You can also go to Twitter, which is Hail Cheaters. That's H-A-I-L Cheaters. If you can't find any of those places, just visit alwayscheating.com, which is our website. You should go there anyways because Brandon redesigned it last week and it looks great.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's deserved.
Thank you, Squarespace.
Thank you.
I love those drag and drop tools.
If you want to join the Patreon head-to-head league, you have to join that before the Arsenal-Leicester match starts on this Friday, August 11th. At least give me an hour or so. I actually will be at work when that game starts. So give me a little time to actually send you the code and make sure you can join. We actually got a ton of new Patreon subscribers. We had so many that we're going to save it for a little farther into the podcast because we want to get right into the heart of this episode. But don't think that we love you any less, new Patreon supporters. That's extremely.
You'll get your shout out.
Yeah, exactly. It's extremely, extremely appreciated. Finally, just if you can, actually two last things. Sorry. One is if you could help us spread the word about the podcast. We mentioned this before, but if you have people in your mini league, maybe people who aren't as serious about the game as you are, but might be helped by some of the podcasts, maybe like the episode where we talk about 10 rules for fantasy Premier League success. If you can share it with them, we're really trying to make our audience as large as possible. So that's very much appreciated. And,
yeah, Josh, that episode, 10 Rules for FPL Success, is like by far and away our most listened to episode yet.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
It is really cool. Yeah, so all the years we've been doing this, and that is our number one most listened to episode. So
episode 84. Go back, check it out.
Finally, we have a special podcast coming up on Wednesday of this week. I mentioned this on Facebook and Twitter already. It's an interview with our friends at Starting 11. It's a new daily fantasy game that's launching this very weekend. You can go to Starting 11, that's the numbers 11.io, to learn more about that. We're going to talk to them about daily fantasy in general, about the app itself, and about how fantasy Premier League managers can fit daily fantasy into their life. And, you know, I like to gamble, Brandon, so I'm excited about
this. You are a gambler.
Even if I'm just close to gambling, I get excited.
Absolutely. I've already gone in and set my first Starting 11 squad, so I'm looking forward to talking more about what's going on over there.
All right, let's get right into it.
Okay. Should we talk about our teams? Are we ready to just like reveal what we've been working on, sort of unveiling our class projects?
Let's do it. And let's do this like one at a time, right? We'll start with the goalkeepers and work our way up to the forwards. This is how our teams are looking right now. And please know, we're recording this podcast on Sunday. I'm probably going to change like 7 players in this lineup, but I'm going to list who I've got right now. And I guess we'll end with the bench. Okay.
Okay, so if we're talking about our goalkeepers, we'll just name our starting goalkeeper, and then later we talk about our bench goalkeeper.
Yeah, this is my starting squad for game week one if I like fall into a coma in the next like 2 hours. Okay, all right. So my starting keeper is Fraser Forster.
Okay, I'm going with, despite what we said when talking about Manchester United in the last episode, David De Gea is starting in goal for me.
David De Gea. Okay. You know, De Gea, people maybe haven't been talking about enough. I mean, the problem with him is that, you know, he doesn't get like a ton of save points, but he might be the most reliable. I mean, I keep trying to figure out how to get into that Man United line in a way that like feels secure, you know, and I'm still.
That's
not
exactly
sure
my that. Logic. Yeah. I mean, Lindelof is on the tip of a lot of people's tongues.
Yeah.
Bailly seems like the sure bet, but at 6.0 feels a little expensive to me for a guy that's not going to be scoring many goals, if any.
Right.
So I just landed on David De Gea, just like you're saying, very secure.
Exactly. And you know, Forster is actually kind of the same thing for me. I don't love the rest. It may be that I end up bringing somebody else in and I bring in Ryan Bertrand. But for right now, it's Forster is my Southampton defender. I just like some of the other 5.5 million options a little more. And I'd rather have Forster. What I really want to have is Cedric at some point. But there's a risk that Cedric is going to play the first game or two.
Yeah.
Got an extended break after the Confederations Cup. And I just don't want to bring in Cedric right away until I feel secure that he's actually going to be the starting player. And I just, you know, if it's between Forster and Yoshida, I guess I'd still rather have Forster. So that's my logic there.
Yeah. Cedric has really been broken as an FPL player by rotation and injury. Yeah.
I know. And it's, this could still be his year, but it may not start until,
no doubt.
Until game week two or three. All right, back line. I'll just read through my three starting defenders right now, and I'm like almost nervous to do it because I feel like it's going to change so much. But I've gone for it's okay. Here we go. So I've got Lindelof, who
just
may
read it, Josh.
Yeah, Lindelof, Ake, Company. All right, those are my three defenders right now.
Wow, that's solid, man. I think that's very solid. Assuming Lindelof is straight in, seems like he will be.
He might be. I mean, Daley Blind actually is the only defender who's played every game for Man United so far in the preseason. So I may go Blind, but it's just tough, you know. And I don't really want to pay $6 million for forgive me, who's there for Bailly, just because Bailly really isn't any kind of goal threat at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the thinking there. So I
and Vincent Kompany, he's a good outlay of cash. Is he? He's also $6 million, or is he 6.5?
He is $6 million. And my thinking with Kompany is just that I feel a little unsettled about the Man City defense right now. The reality is I'm probably going to end up wildcarding fairly early, as are a lot of managers. And so I've really kind of cast an eye towards players that I think are like absolute locks in the team right now.
Mm-hmm.
Lindelof aside. Just because I feel like that gives me a little extra stability and I'm not going to be, I don't know, it just helps me get like kind of off to the strongest possible foot, you know? So it may be that I drop, even Company may not last, but I feel fairly confident that he's going to play the first few matches. And, Ake, yeah. I think you could go Ake or Daniels. I just really like the way that Ake performed. I liked his nose for goal when he was during his half a season loan last year for Bournemouth. So I'm going Ake over Daniels at the moment. I mean, Daniels isn't going to be on pens either. That was part of the chief appeal for Daniels last year.
Even two seasons ago was the big Charlie Daniels pen year. And he slowly fell away from them last season.
Right. I like the way I said on assist. Like he's like, I don't know. Yeah. Like that's like a thing that you were like designated like to get for your team.
Sure. Who's the designated assist man on that squad? Exactly.
Yeah. But he could, you know, he's still capable of, you know, picking up some assists, but I just really like Ake, and maybe I'm letting my real life football bias affect my fantasy choice here. But I think you can go with either one and feel pretty confident, Ake or Daniels.
All right. The back three for me, I have Ryan Bertrand, Ben Davies, and my main man, Miguel Britos.
Ooh, Britos. I'm shocked.
I'm pinching a few pennies back here, and we can talk even more about that when we get to my bench. So Ryan Bertrand, we were just talking about the Southampton D. I do think Bertrand is just a better bet even when Cedric Suarez is healthy. Mm-hmm. But the idea of spending an extra 0.5 to get Bertrand is one thing that's making me a little unsettled here.
Sure.
So I'm somebody was tweeting at us that he felt like we gave the short shrift to particularly Yoshida and Stevens in the back line. And perhaps they are better value. But I do think with Bertrand, his assist and goal potential is worth that extra 0.5.
The other concern is that, you know, Van Dijk may actually still play with Southampton. He may end up coming back. I mean, if he comes back, is it like absolute certainty that he replaces Stevens instead of Yoshida? I mean, Stevens looked great last year and it's new manager. I mean, there could be a three-way rotation with Stevens. I mean, Van Dijk is definitely a starter if he decides to play with the team this year. But between Yoshida and Stevens, it's not clear to me that one of them is the absolute rock-solid number one second-choice center back.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's kind of an Alexis Sanchez situation with Van Dijk right now where we don't know what's going to happen, but if either player stays, it like wildly changes what that lot.
He is 5.5, right, Van Dyke? He is. So, I mean, God, if by some miracle he commits to playing for Southampton in the next 4 days, he is a great option.
Yeah. Okay, so Ben Davies, this is obviously a result of Kieran Trippier going off injured against Juventus yesterday. So we're recording on a Sunday. Ben Davies was flipping fantastic at the end of last season, and I think he's kind of been forgotten in all the Kieran Trippier talk.
So is he can back up Trippier, or how does that work? Because, I mean, Davies was playing on the other side, right?
Correct. So the starting lineup, if Trippier is healthy, would be Davies on the left and Trippier on the right. So Trippier's injury doesn't impact anything, really.
Okay. Oh, so Danny Rose he's still not ready to play.
Right. And all the reports on Danny Rose are still same as they've ever been. Like, fingers crossed, hang in there, buddy. Get well soon. It's like him hanging from a tree branch like a cute little kitty cat.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, that was, I guess, my concern about Davies was just that Danny Rose. I still don't understand why Danny Rose is $6.5 million. I mean, the guy's coming off like a knee injury and didn't play the last 15 games last season. Like, how could he's like in that? It's the weird surcharge for English players that the game seems to have. Where like Daniel Sturridge is always way too expensive, despite being injured all the time.
Right. So there are a ton of unknowns with the Trippier injury right now. The severity, it's his ankle, which doesn't sound good, but he could be out for no weeks, a week, 5 weeks. So they brought in this really young guy. It was a hyphenated last name. Like, all the young English players now have hyphenated last names. Walker, I'm blanking on his name. So some people are salivating over the prospect of this guy maybe being added to the game at a cheap price, like 4.5. And that could be a great cheap entry into the Spurs back line to start the season. Well, I don't know. So yeah, there's Ben Davies.
Yeah, they really played with fire, that team, didn't they? I mean, just letting not bringing in any new players, letting their, I guess he was like their first choice or second choice back, you know, fullback go, and then not bringing anybody in to replace them. I mean, it's just like, how did they put themselves in this position? Like, they could win the league this year, and now they're just. It's just like, is it just astounding cheapness? I really don't understand what's going on with this.
It seems that way. I mean, I don't know how much this new stadium is playing into their finances, but their squad depth has not been improved at all in the offseason. Yeah. And Britos is just a 4.5 plugging a hole in the dam. And,
it makes sense.
It's kind of tricky looking at these opening fixtures for 4.5 defenders. There are some interesting options that we ran through when we did the team-by-team previews the last couple of episodes, but I like Marco Silva as a manager. He looked really great for Hull last season, and I can see maybe Watford solidifying their organization or their backline organization a little bit more.
Doesn't it feel like you haven't heard word one about Watford? I feel like of all the teams in the league, Watford has like received the least attention in the offseason.
Just real quick, going back to Spurs, you have no Spurs coverage in the back. Is there any thinking behind that?
I just don't know who I would. I mean, I'm a little nervous about them not having a. Wait, Trippier is he a left back or a right back? I'm forgetting right now.
He plays on the right.
He's right. I mean, just them not having a right back gives me a little pause. I don't really want to spend $6 million on an Alderweireld right now. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it does cause me some. I mean, they're playing in a stadium that's not their home stadium. I just don't like. I'm not like. It doesn't feel urgent to me to have Spurs coverage back there. But it could be my undoing.
Yeah, I mean, they did keep a clean sheet against Juventus, though. Caveat: True. It was a friendly, and also Juve had a ton of looks at goal, so it wasn't like Spurs just dominated them defensively.
Yeah, and I didn't actually watch that game yesterday. I mean, I knew they kept it, and it was a 2-0 win, but I haven't seen the highlights yet, so maybe that would have changed things for me. I still have the Man City. I don't know. You know, the question is always how much do you read into these preseason games, because Man City defeat was, they looked they got run over, you know? And so is that something that we think about, or do we just kind of put it aside? I don't know. So
right. I do like that company pick, though. It's got me thinking. All right. Take us through your midfield, Josh.
All right. The midfield's pretty templatey. I'll say that right off the bat. I've got De Bruyne, Eriksen, Willian, and Ward-Prowse as my starting four. So I'm going with a 3-4-3 right now. I actually think, and we'll get to this later, but I think with my bench, I could look at some 4-3-3s this year. Which is something I haven't done a lot of, but there are a lot of great defensive options this year, as many people have already noted. So the one thing that's a little different here is Eriksen instead of Ali. I like the way that Eriksen fits at Wembley. I just think we talked about this in an earlier podcast, but there's a lot of space there. There's a lot of room for crosses, and he's looked really good in the offseason as well. He's looked fantastic. So. Or in the preseason, that is. So,
yeah, not to talk just the full pod about this Juve match at Wembley the other day, but Eriksen looked fantastic. He looked really good, really dangerous.
Runs, plays the full 90 minutes almost every game. So just a really, solid staple pick, you know. Yep. I'm trying to be a little more conservative this year.
Okay. And James Ward-Prowse, Prowsey, feeling good about that?
Yeah, I feel okay about that. Now I'm getting a little concerned just because there's a little buzz about whether his spot is assured. You know, he did score a goal this week. I think he also had an assist and a goal. So I feel pretty good about that one. I like
his. Is he on assist, Josh?
He's on assist. He's 5.5 million. So I think at that price, I'd like him. Although now, man, Pascal Gross. Or growth, or however I think it's easy to say gross. On Brighton, picked up another goal today. I think that's two goals in two games for him. He's only 5 million, and so I'm really seriously thinking about him as my. So the thing about Brighton, and I don't want to get totally sidetracked here, but they're one of those teams, they're a little bit like Burnley, where they are just really, really solid at home. So if you can figure out a rotation where you can play your Brighton players at home and maybe. You know, rotate them away. I think there's some interesting options there. And Pascal Gross is basically going to play as a number 10. And I don't know. He's very interesting. And so I'm kind of talking myself into this as we go. So I think
I can tell. I can see you making the transfer right now on the pod.
Sketch him in there. we'll see. Created more, as we mentioned on our preview, he created more chances than any other player in the Bundesliga last season. So very interesting option there. And a bit of a... great place to have a differential, right? Is that fourth midfield player?
Absolutely, that's where the differential lives.
Right, exactly. So, what's your midfield?
Okay, so I'm going Dele Alli over Eriksen. So it's Dele Alli, then Mila Vojovic from Crystal Palace. He's my budget guy.
Another guy I've thought about too.
Yep, very much on the bubble of my squad right now, but he fit at 5.0. You know, there is a lot of talk of doubling up on getting two 4.5 mids, somebody like Tom Carroll, who might be assured a starting spot. So why not just go with two 4.5s and put a little more cash into my defense? So something I'm thinking about. Mm-hmm. Then template Kevin De Bruyne and Willian. They're rounding out the four.
Yeah, and are you I'm getting a little itchy with the Willian trigger finger. I'm not sure that Willian's gonna make it all the way to Friday.
I'm not.
Okay, I wasn't blown away today with him.
Yeah, I mean Chelsea are playing Burnley at home at Stamford Bridge. I think there will be goals there for Chelsea. They have a pretty good run the first four or five. Game weeks. I think it's a chance to take. We have a few questions about Chelsea that we're going to get to later on. So I think we'll talk a little bit more about the Willian pick later on. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, God, nothing was clarified by the charity field made everything more confusing. if you were looking at players on either squad, nothing was answered. I mean, I joked on Twitter. I mean, the Arsenal 11 came out, and of that 11, literally 9 of the 11 players might not be consistent starters by game week 3 or 4. I mean, everyone outside of Lacazette and Cech are at least under threat to start.
It's a truly, truly bizarre game. Ending with a Thibaut Courtois missed penalty kick. Right. What was even going on there?
And this madness. The Kolasinac thing is kind of annoying too, only because he was like my, like, he's like the under the radar guy. We've been talking about him actually since our like very first preview podcast of the season. You know, joined on a free in the offseason for Arsenal, looked, you know, really good, kind of expensive at $6 million. And now after this goal, he's going to be on everybody's radar. So, but again, not necessarily an assured starter. So, we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. Should we talk about frontline?
Yeah. Frontline. Yeah. And this is where I'm going to get some grief because my frontline right now does not have Harry Kane.
So, this is the Oh Brother section of the podcast.
Exactly. So it's a little, well, I'm going to get some grief. I've got Lukaku, of course. And by the way, it kind of sucks that Lukaku, just has to take one of your three spots, doesn't it? I mean, it basically, like, you can't not have him to start the season, given how high his ownership is. But it takes a little, 0.01% of the fun out of the game, because you basically are like, all right, that spot's taken up. I can't even consider anyone else in that spot. Now, maybe that's me.
I mean, who's to say you can't be a Maverick?
It's true, but it's just if you're trying to like actually do well this year, you kind of need to have Lukaku in that spot. I think. I don't know. I mean, agree to disagree, right? There's definitely people who disagree with us on Twitter and elsewhere. So. Sure. Anyway, so I got Lukaku, and then we come to my second spot, and this is where I'm going to get some grief, because I don't have Kane right now, and I have Lacazette, who's kind of in that Kane spot. He's $2 million cheaper at $10.5 million, and I feel pretty good about him just because of all the kind of stats bomb stuff that I've read about just what a great finisher he is. You've seen it in the preseason. He hit the crossbar today, or I should say that not the crossbar, the side post. So Lacazette is my kind of homer pick, and he might turn into Kane as the next few days progress. And then I've got the Nacho Man himself from the newly crowned Fox, the starting Fox, whatever.
Kalichi Iheanacho. I'm so confused as to what the lineup is going to look like up front for Leicester after this move.
Yeah,
for Slimani now.
Well, I think Slimani – he didn't do that well last year, for one thing. I mean, he did score.
Yeah, I'm not arguing that poor Slimani getting pushed out of the lineup.
Right, but I do think that if they spent that – I mean, $25 million is quite a lot for a club like Leicester to spend. He's a terrific player. He picked up an assist in the very first game he played. Picked up a little knock, but apparently it was just a precaution that they took him off. That's what I've read anyway, so – he's in that spot. I mean, you know, there's
the I can see he's like an upgrade on Okazaki. When the Foxes won the league, Okazaki, the role he played was quieter, but it was very important. And I can see Iheanacho slotting into that role, but even being a better goal scorer.
And he was able to play with a really direct striker. You know, like, I mean, he and Aguero were able to play together, and so I don't know why he and Vardy couldn't play together as well. To me, their skills complement each other enough, and so right now I've got the Nacho Man, and who you got, Brandon?
Up front, so I did have Lukaku and Lacazette like you until yesterday, and I have Kane now. So I have Kane and Lukaku. It felt silly to not go with Harry Kane.
Yeah, that's fair.
I hear all everyone's arguments about maybe he's a slow starter. There is some uncertainty about how they'll play at Wembley. But Kane was just fire at the end of last season. You can just bank that he will be scoring goals, and I do not feel comfortable going without him. The larger question I have about strikers up front is I think there are so many great options, and you can't have them all. There, you know, we're not even talking about putting Jesus or Aguero into our teams, and I feel like those guys are going to be, you know, scoring goals by the hatful.
They really are. And so, I mean, and you can make a case for Aguero or Jesus. It looks like they're both going to start. That seems to be the consensus opinion there. I was talking more about consistency of starts. I mean, there is a little concern about rest and rotation with those Man City forwards. And I mean, of the first six game weeks, how many game weeks do you think that they're both going to start together? Three, maybe four.
It's hard to predict.
Yeah, it is hard to predict. And so in a couple of the other ones, one will probably start and one will come off the bench. I mean, you know, we'll get into the Champions League, you know, I think within maybe probably after that first international break, right? It's usually when the Champions League starts. So Maybe it's after the second. It may take a little while. So the Champions League may not be a factor, but just given the way that Pep likes to shift things around in that squad, and, you know, God forbid if they lose one of their opening games, we'll start to see massive changes, you know, right off the bat. So that's just my concern. Honestly, I can't pick between Aguero and Jesus, and so I just haven't picked one at all.
And then my third forward is right now Steve Mooney, who scored a goal for Huddersfield yesterday. Yeah. Recency bias, but
sure.
he's been scouted well. People like him.
I like him. Well, Andre Gray talk, right?
Yeah, it's similarly priced. He's 6.0, and he's enabling Kane in my front line right now. Like, right. There are a lot of killer options at 7.0. You were just talking about the Nacho Man, and of course we have Chicharito.
Right.
I mean, now this whole discussion about Roberto Firmino possibly being on pens for Liverpool.
Yep.
Can I find a way to fit Firmino into my squad?
Yeah, exactly. Firmino is a play. Yeah, exactly. I mean, for 1.5 million more, I could turn the Nacho Man into Firmino. That all that would require is for me to turn Willian into a 5.5 million midfielder, which might be fine. You know, like that might be something I can do. I would still have De Bruyne and Eriksen. So that may happen too. I don't have any Liverpool coverage right now, and that is definitely a concern.
Now, watching Morata play in the Charity Shield today, did that quiet your interest in him?
He did
not look good at all.
He didn't look good, and I've been seeing all these articles about how nice he is. It's a little bit of a concern. Morata, I'm not sure about.
It'll take him a while to bed in. I'm sure he'll grow into that team, and he'll probably have some really good moments during the season, but he is firmly in wait and see territory.
If I were to take another big forward, it would certainly be Kane, followed by the Man City guys, followed by Morata. You know, I mean, he's like fourth on the list of maybe even Firmino. I mean, there's like, I don't know. It really could be the year for an expensive forward line. I don't know that you can really make Lukaku, Lacazette, and Kane work. I mean, that's like a 34 million lineup.
Yeah, that's it's too much, and like, I do think you can't justify that.
Yeah.
Given the number of options at 7.0 and below.
Exactly. What we really need we need Lukaku to go down with a season-ending injury in the first minute of the first game.
I think that the strikers is where you're going to win your league this season.
Yeah.
I think there are so many goals out there to be had and so many differentials up front, more so than the midfield.
Totally agree. All right, so I think we're starting to go a little long here. So I'm just going to read my bench off here and just let me know if you have any thoughts. I've got Elliott in goal, 4 million. Looks like he's, unless Newcastle sign a new player in the next few days, it looks like he's going to be their starting keeper. And it doesn't really matter anyway, because if I'm planning to wild card in game week 6 or 7, which, you know, is probably how it's going to happen, I can just play Forster all those fixtures anyway. So it doesn't really matter. That's another reason why I want Forster, actually, is because I just really like that. I like the lack of rotation that I need to do with him. I've got Tom Carroll. I bet we both do. It's first on my bench. I've got Duffy, who I think of Duncan Duffy. I think Duffy is the one that
they sound like old hedge knights from the Middle Ages. Duncan Duffy.
They do. I think those characters are both in Macbeth. And then I've got Ben Mee as my other defender.
Okay, we virtually have the same bench. I have Rob Elliott, similar reasons. Tom Carroll is first up, then Ben Mee, and I have Lascelles from Newcastle.
Sure.
I need to do a little bit more digging into Newcastle. I think there are a lot of questions about rest, rotation, starting lineup, but he's my last 4.5 defender at the moment.
I like that, although I think that Lejeune might be the actual player you want from that Newcastle defense. Same price.
Yeah, and this does go against one of our 10 rules for FPL success, but I'm trying to figure out where I can trim to find an extra 0.5, and there is a temptation to just throw a 4.0 defender in there.
You can probably do it through your first wild card, you know? I wouldn't get the Hoenemeyer, who everyone seems to be getting. I don't think that guy's going to play at all, so.
Yeah.
First week starting lineup now.
Yeah. For me, that would be more a throwaway pick. I wouldn't want to get somebody like Hoenemeyer that has some semblance of a bandwagon, because then you're going to have to manage his value if everyone just drops him all of a sudden.
Yeah, I agree. It's It's very interesting. All right, so let's Brandon, let's take a quick break. We'll get into the second half of the podcast. I actually think we've answered a lot of the questions that are about to come. So,
well, we can just sign off. It's done.
Yeah, it's like, what am I going with this? Yeah, you can just stop listening now. So, see you later.
No, we have some good questions for our listeners coming up, and we're gonna tackle the fixture list for game week one.
Exactly. All right, we'll be right back.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
All right, Brandon, we're back and we're taking some key questions. Questions about team structure leading up to game week one. Also some questions that were brought on by the friendlies themselves. So
we've dubbed this section Friendly Thoughts, which I find very charming.
Friendly Thoughts with Josh and Brandon. First question is, it's about strikers. Actually, we have two questions about strikers to start things off. First question is from Steek Hagen, who says, if we exclude Murat and Lacazette on the basis that they are league fresh, which two of Lukaku, Kane, and Jesus Aguero are must-haves? Lukaku and Kane are nailed starters, and the latter two, that is, Jesus and Aguero, played together this weekend and got a goal each. With the start City has, it's tempting to pick Jesus over Kane, but how about taking all three and downgrade a mid and a defender?
Yeah, I think we kind of touched upon this when we were talking about our own teams. It just is a huge outlay of cash to go three heavy hitters up front. And as I was saying, it could be actually a good thing, because I think that's where a ton of points are going to come from this season. I mean, that's my early prediction anyway. I just think there are so many goals that are going to be on the table from premium strikers. So it's hard to say no to any of these ideas, but sacrificing what?
It's hard to say. I mean,
let me pose it this way.
Yeah.
Sorry to, and then I'll let you speak, Josh.
Sure.
How difficult is it? You're setting yourself up to make two moves. If a midfielder catches fire, say you sacrifice somebody like Kevin De Bruyne and he catches fire, you're gonna be at least two moves away from getting him in if you spend that much money up front.
Yeah, it's true. And De Bruyne really is the key to this, because if you think that you can safely get away from De Bruyne, then I think that there is more money to be spent up front. But we talked about this in the Man City team preview podcast, last week's podcast. There's also an article that I linked to on our Twitter feed last week that was on Fantasy Football Scout, and it was an interview with a bunch of different managers about Man City assets. And one of the things they talked about is, just in the end, almost by process of elimination, just given how much risk there is in the midfield and even up front, Kevin De Bruyne kind of is the one player who you can really count on to start almost every game week, at least early on. And so he's just the best way to get Man City coverage. So I feel like having him really lessens the impact of not having Jesus and Aguero.
Correct. Yeah, I totally agree with that. Make me feel a little better about it. The ball's in to them, it appears, if they're not coming from the wing backs, are probably going to be coming in from Kevin De Bruyne.
And if you think that you can get away with someone else, like even Leroy Sané, if you want to stay in that Man City category, or maybe someone like Mkhitaryan. I mean, we didn't even talk about Pogba and Mkhitaryan in our when we talked about our team sheets. I mean, I've definitely thought about them a lot. And so, let's say that you go from De Bruyne to Mkhitaryan. That's $2 million saved. You know, that money could then turn, I don't know, Lacazette into Harry Kane, for example. You know, so I think that it's just about whether it's all about De Bruyne. And if you have De Bruyne, it's very hard to have a super expensive forward line.
I guess this talk is causing me to reconsider Dele Alli and Christian Eriksen. If you have Kane,
do you need
the same logic holds here, right?
Right. Yeah, it's true. I mean, if you have Kane, maybe you can downgrade one of those two players into Mkhitaryan and save $1.5 million.
Yeah, and then I could move Steve Mooney into who knows who.
I think that the must-haves are. I think that, yeah, the one must-have for sure is Lukaku. It's not just about the high ownership. I mean, I don't mean to, like, totally disparage him on the ownership thing. He has a high ownership because he's a really, you know, he's a very consistent striker, someone who has delivered fantasy tournaments for many, many years now, and he's on the best team he's ever been on, right? I think we can already say that, even before they played one game in the league. So, yes. He's on the best team he's ever played on. He's looked very good in the preseason. He's going to score a boatload of goals this year, and you'd want him even if his ownership was at zero. You know, he's just he's a player that you want, and so he's just he is the number one option, I think. And he's locked into that spot. I mean, even someone like Morata, Morata, for example, is tempting, right? Because he's home to Burnley this week, but is he even going to start? I mean, Batshuayi didn't impress, so I think there's actually a pretty good chance Morata does start game week one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that, Kane is the obvious other example. I mean, Kane's price is just, it's so prohibitively high. Given the balance that I want on my squad this year, I'm trying to find a way to go without Kane and have more money that I can spend on my midfield and my defense. I mean, the idea that you just talked about a minute ago of basically having Kane up front and then just not having any Spurs midfield coverage is an interesting option, because it is hard to have two heavy hitters up front and then have a 9.5, I mean, it's almost a 10 million midfielder. And then you also have De Bruyne. I mean, that's 20 million right there with those two players.
Yeah. It's interesting going back to my lineup. I don't have Liverpool coverage. I barely have City coverage. I just have KDB. Why do I have three players from Spurs when we have so many questions about how they're going to play? Like, I have no questions about Harry Kane. Right. He will score goals. Right. And I do think, on paper, that's your best option next to Lukaku, just to go back to Steve's
right,
question.
Right.
I love this phrase, league fresh. And that's, while Lacazette and Morata may end up just quickly becoming as good an option as Harry Kane, I think still going into game week one on paper, it's Harry Kane and Lukaku.
That's fair. I mean, I'm sort of talking myself into Kane as this podcast goes on. Part of the problem, too, is that, Kane is they play Newcastle in game week one, and it's kind of an unsettled Newcastle back line. I mean, I think that there's a very strong case for captaining Kane in game week one, even over Lukaku, right? And his super high ownership.
Yeah.
That West Ham team, the problem is that, Man U play West Ham at home, and that West Ham defense is also kind of a work in progress. I mean, I think they will be good eventually, but I don't know. We'll talk about them. We talked about them last week. West Ham is like, we could do like a whole pod on West Ham. There's like so much stuff going on. Second question comes from Chris Howell about forwards and strikers. He says, Nacho or Chicharito?
This is the next step down from the premium strikers we were just talking about. Who's most appealing at the 7.0 bracket?
I'm a little concerned about, I actually had Chicharito, and then I moved him to Nacho recently. I don't love anyone in this price bracket, to be honest. I don't love Jay Rodriguez at West Brom. I don't love, any of the forwards on Southampton. I might end up talking myself into Firmino just because I can't figure out where to, who to put my money on in that forward line that I actually trust.
Yeah, Firmino is interesting in that he seems to be the only striker that is hanging out there at the 8.5, awkward 8.5 price bracket. But I tend to agree with these, between 6 and 7. There's no one that really screams out. I think that's going to be a question that we have to have answered when the season starts.
Right. I mean, to me, Nacho is just, it's a total like underlying stat pick here.
Yeah.
I do think he's going to start, and not everybody feels that way, but I do for, just from what I've read, I think he's going to start. And his, his goals per 90 is off the charts. Now, granted, played a lot of bench minutes, has never been a consistent starter anywhere. He's still only 20 years old. But I think he could really have a big breakout season. I think he's a really good fit for that Leicester squad. I mean, it's the kind of squad that lets their creativity, their creative players freelance a little bit. And I think there's going to be some room for him to really show his stuff. So, Nacho is my pick.
Gabby Adini could play a few head games with us at the start of the season. If he comes out scoring a few goals, I can see that upsetting a lot of people like you, Josh, got totally burned by him at the end of last season.
I'm over it. I mean, Gabby Adini is a player I've thought about too. I mean, I guess
Southampton's fixtures are just so appealing to start.
They really are.
It could be a risk worth taking.
Yeah.
But I also just the whole striker thing altogether, I think this is probably going to be the transfer that we're making going into game week two.
Right.
There will be one or two or three or 15 different strikers that really come into their own in game week one. And it's really freaking hard to predict.
It really is. I mean, all these guys, I mean, a Morata could go for, a brace in game week one. And suddenly all of us are, thinking to ourselves, well, if I go from Kane to Murata, I save $2.5 million. You know, can that money, you know, be better spent elsewhere?
The thing about Chicharito that we mentioned when we previewed West Ham last week was there are a lot of injuries for West Ham right now, and they have three away games right off the bat because of issues with the London Stadium. I have a few question marks about Chicharito. He's proven himself in the Premier League, but with those injuries, a new team, away matches, there are a lot of points against Chicharito for me.
Yeah, and it's not encouraging the way his goals dipped year over year last year either. So he's getting close to 30. There are some real red flags with Chicharito. All right, defenders. We've got two questions here about defenders before we get into some of our team thoughts. Dave Aston says, Danilo has shown what a wingback should look like. Alonso's price and ability look stretched, I think. A discussion about the premium wingback seems topical now that Coley what's it scored and looks like a beast.
Coley? Oh, Coley, the Arsenal guy.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, here's my, I guess this is kind of a punt, Brandon, but I think that the wingback discussion is one that we can't really resolve until we're a couple more weeks into the season.
Yeah, it's a tough one, and the rotation that we can continually talk about with Pep and Man City, when Mendy is healthy again, Danilo will be tough to keep in your starting 11. I will say this about Alonso, that man's hair is beautiful. Coming back from the summertime.
I told you, we were texting about hair earlier because I was talking about how awful I thought Theo Walcott's lad haircut was.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Alonso has a mane. It's not hair anymore. It's a proper mane.
Absolutely. Absolutely stunning. Yeah. I want to know what kind of product he uses, what sort of conditioner he's got going on.
Yeah.
But the issue I'm having with the wingbacks is there are lots of tasty options from Kyle Walker, Alonso, and whoever might be firing on the other wing on Man City. But they're really expensive this year. Like, FPL figured out that these guys are really valuable, and they have priced them accordingly. And I think that's why people are really hopeful about Cedric Suarez and Ryan Bertrand. They are really excellent wingbacks, and they're cheaper. And I think I'm kind of waiting to see who the excellent wingbacks are going to be for mid-table squads.
And it just feels like there's a lot of question marks still. There's question marks at Man City. There's question marks on Spurs now. There are question marks even with Man U, obviously Valencia is locked in, but, you know, Darmian looks like he might be. It just feels like there's still – I want to wait a couple weeks on that spot. So I just feel like I'm going a little more center back heavy in my – in my game week one squad, with the understanding that in my first wild card, I plan to bring in a lot more wingbacks, and maybe that'll cost me some team value, and I just should be taking more of a risk right now. But I want to get off to the strongest possible start, and I don't want to risk, you know, not having starting players in game week one or two or three.
Hey, and don't forget about Ben Davies.
That's true, and maybe I'm underrating Ben Davies. I was actually surprised. I don't know why I haven't given him a lot of thought at all.
How awesome was he at the second half of last season when Danny Rose went out? He was just excellent.
I guess I just haven't had enough time to think about it because Trippier was such a locked in 100%. We're all going to have him player. And now
the start of that. Sorry to talk over you. The first goal that Harry Kane scored, it was, well, the whole scoring outlay for Spurs against Juve was exactly how we had our teams set up. Trippier assist to Harry Kane, and then Dele Alli assist to Christian Eriksen.
It was like, it's ridiculous.
All the people we knew were going to score were there.
Fantasy goals, really. So, okay, all right. So let's table that. Let's talk about that in a couple more weeks. We've talked about this a lot in our team previews. So if you want to hear our extended thoughts on the defenders, you can go. Listen to them there. Dave Baker says, best 4 million defender, or is it a lottery?
You remember Jordi Amat? He was everyone's favorite player for the first couple of weeks last season. But the 4.0 defender party tends to not last very long.
It's all just people just look at the team selected by. I mean, Angel Rangel has selected by 21.5% of managers right now. That's out of 2 million. It's 500,000 managers have Angel Rangel on their squad. I don't think he's going to play at all. Is he going to play a single match in the first six game weeks?
It's hard to say.
It wasn't last year.
Injuries can always play a role here, and I think it's best to not try to bank on a 4.0 defender right out of the gate, it's fine to take a gamble because you're probably going to have them on your bench to begin with anyway. And if it ends up being a bad buy, then you have to use one of your free transfers to move them out.
But at $4 million, I mean, at 21.5, Angel Rangel is going to be like $3.6 million in game week three because everyone's going to drop him. I mean, Hoonemeyer is the same way. I mean, Hoonemeyer, you know, played a handful of games last year. He's behind two really solid players in Dunk and Duffy. The Macbeth duo,
the Hedge Knights.
So I wouldn't want him either. I mean, you know, I guess Brad Smith did play a little bit last year for Bournemouth. I'm just looking through the most owned players right now. I mean, there isn't anybody right now. You know, someone like Adrian Mariappa on Watford could end up, you know, starting. I mean, in a situation like that, you don't know because with the new manager, he could see some. It's often these center backs, right? These like third string center backs that are priced at $4 million.
Yeah, right. Exactly. On really weak teams that might not even, you know, garner any defensive points to begin with.
Exactly. You're almost better off just starting your premium defender on the road to a top team. You know, you might get an assist or something.
Yeah. I do think the best advice here is if you get on a 4.0 bandwagon, just as you were saying, Josh, like be very mindful of their values dipping when the bandwagons immediately like disappear.
All right, friendly thoughts. And Brendan, let's do this lightning round style. Just let's give a couple quick thoughts and move on from there because this is at risk of becoming another two-hour podcast.
Okay, I've got my game show buzzer in front of me. I'm ready to go.
All right, friendly thoughts. First one is about Arsenal. Sean, number one, says, Sanchez worth the funds? Seems to be a bit of a differential at the moment.
I'm a hard pass on Alexis Sanchez right now. Obviously, he just started training with the team. Didn't make the team for the Charity Shield. It's a huge question mark. And why fit him into your team at that huge $12 million price tag?
It seems a little risky. Certainly going into game week one. Would it surprise me if he started game week one? No, certainly would not. Do I expect him to be there? Also, he still could get trained. I don't think he's going to get transferred at this point. It seems. I think he's probably pretty locked in. I mean, Wenger's been pretty adamant, and it looks like he's actually not going to budge this time around. But, you know, we'll see. So there's a chance he could move. There's a chance he comes off the bench the first game week or two. I mean, it's a Friday game for them, too. So I think that that makes it even less likely that he's going to start.
Yeah, right. Okay, we have a couple questions here about Chelsea. Ramon tweets at us, don't touch Chelsea players until Hazard is back. Yes or no, Josh?
Well, I don't think I'm going to touch the defenders until my first wild card. It's kind of an up and down first set of fixtures. I mean, obviously they play Burnley in game week one. It'd be a great time to have a Chelsea defender, but the fixtures are a little spottier from there on out. So I don't plan to have a. Now, Willian is the player who I think might have to give way because I think I need a little more money for my forward line. I think I'm probably going to move Lacazette into Kane. So.
Now, Josh, how much does Fabregas cost? Because Gavin Doyle tweeted at us, Fabregas or Willian?
I think they're both $7 million. Are they?
Okay.
Not?
So the other suggestion here from Gavin would be to go with Matt Ritchie at Newcastle, who's 6.0. Now that is a bridge too far. For
I can't
me.
Get over the Ritchie at Bournemouth thing. I just can't. Eventually, if he proves himself, fine. Maybe Benitez has like unlocked everything, but he was so bad on Bournemouth last year that or 2 years ago that it's. I guess maybe that's like bias having the wrong effect on me. I don't know. Is it wisdom or bias? You know, it's like the unanswerable question. Yeah, they are both $7 million.
You're really shaking my faith in Willian this episode, Josh. I do not appreciate it.
Well, he's a free kick special. I mean, I don't know if he's a free kick specialist, but he's great on free kicks, but he doesn't score a ton of open play goals. So I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know what to think. And Heaton's a pretty good keeper too. So you'd really, if you wanted him, it's really for that first fixture. Cause you know, from then on out there, it gets a little bad the next few game weeks. I was looking ahead. I think they play, they're away to Spurs the next game week. They're home to Everton, which isn't a great fixture. Then they play Leicester away and Arsenal at home. So it's not like a terrible run, but it's not great either. And, I don't know. I mean, do I really want a $7 million Alonso for that run? I think I'm going to wait till my first wild card and bring him in there.
Yep. I think we're both agreed on the defense there.
Yeah.
All right, Josh, on to Liverpool. We have a question on Twitter from Lars who says, thinking about Firmino, maybe on pens and brilliant in the preseason. So I think we have talked about Firmino. 8.5 is just a really awkward price tag. Beyond that, what's not to love?
Exactly. It's an awkward price tag, but moving him into the forward line has actually made him the cheapest way into the Liverpool attack. And it's kind of interesting, right? Because if they were all spaced out as midfielders right now and you had, you know, you had 9 million, 9.5, 9, let's see, I think...
Mane is 9.5, right. And then you've got Phil and Salah both at 9.0.
Right. So if you had those four players all available as midfielders and Firmino was 8.5 million, I think he'd be such a trendy pick at 8.5 million.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is awkward to put him in that forward line. But, I mean, it's reasonable to want to have some Liverpool coverage. I mean, it's a, you know, pretty decent start for them. I mean, yeah, they play... Well, okay... They do play Arsenal and City in game weeks 3 and 4. So, but if you're looking at those first two games, I mean, you know, Watford away, Crystal Palace at home, and even Arsenal at home, those are three pretty solid fixtures, and I would expect multiple Liverpool goals in all three of those games.
It's funny. Liverpool is kind of going to be the team that I play in auxiliary fantasy games, like my first starting 11 for the starting 11 daily app. Has a lot of Liverpool players in my draft team. You know, you and I both did the FPL draft a couple weeks ago,
right?
Going with Mo Salah, so I'm still struggling to see how they fit into my regular FPL team at the moment.
It's tricky. All right, Crystal Palace. Gavin Doyle says Spironi started in goal for Palace yesterday. Has he replaced Hennessy? Combined with Elliott, that's two goalies for $8 million. A tidy sum.
I like your eye for value, Gavin, but I don't know that that means anything. It's interesting that Spironi started so like a week before the season actually starts, but my
weird
assumption is Hennessy has that spot nailed down.
I don't know that you can say that. I mean, I genuinely don't know who's going to start in goal on goal, which just means I would stay away from any Palace keeper. Maybe he'll come out and just say who his starter is, but barring that, I wouldn't do it. I mean, Spironi had a testimonial for them like 2 years ago, and he's like still in the squad. It's so bizarre.
Yeah, he still has that ludicrous chin strap beard. No, yeah, so not having it.
It's not a hard pass, but it's a pass for now because I don't want to take the risk. And the reason why is because if Spironi doesn't start, then I'm stuck starting Elliott in every single game, which I do not want to do.
Rob Elliott's punch out.
West Brom. Dave from Burnley says West Brom's defense an utter myth, true or false?
Well, it's not a myth. We've definitely seen West Brom for many seasons consecutively been clean sheet machines, and Tony Pulis as manager, that's one of his like legendary focuses. But I think we all kind of saw the worst of West Brom D at the end of last season, where they really struggled to keep clean sheets. A lot of their key central defenders are getting very old, like McCauley, and it's kind of a changing of the guard season, I think, for West Brom.
I mean, it wasn't just the end of last season. It was the entire second half of last season. I mean, their defense was not solid at all. And and they've looked terrible in the preseason. I mean, it would be if you've seen them play at all or even just looked at the box scores for their games, it does not paint a very pretty picture. And also, a bunch of their players are injured right now. McCauley is injured. Dawson apparently is now flagged as well. So I'm really thinking about just like not having any West Brom defensive coverage.
Is that just because they can't tell Dawson and McCauley apart, much like when McCauley was served a red card for a Dawson foul?
It could be. Actually, now it looks like Dawson has been unflagged. So it's just McCauley and Evans.
We have a question from Richie on Twitter about another West Brom defender, Higazi, this new Egyptian guy who came in over the summer.
Right.
Played all preseason fine, says Richie, and the only one at 4.5 million. So it's kind of, if you're looking to go West Brom, I feel like Ben Foster at 4.5 is the best option because he'll probably be getting a lot of save points.
Right. Higazi is a center back. He's actually on loan right now for a year. And it's like he was on loan for $1 million and they have like an option to buy him for $4 million. So now it's possible that Higazi plays so well that you move McCauley out to the fullback position because McCauley is capable of playing either spot. And then you have, I guess you could do Higazi and Evans with Dawson and McCauley. I don't know how Nyam fits into it. It feels kind of unsettled outside of Dawson, right? Yeah. I mean, Johnny Evans is injured again.
It does.
He always is. So I wouldn't want to touch anybody there. I mean, maybe Dawson. McCauley looks like he's going to be out for a little while. So Higazi could probably get you there the next couple of weeks, but I don't think he's a long-term option.
The last friendly thought of the pod, Josh. Dave from Burnley says, ignore Saints defense and start the lovely Tom Carroll. So true. I don't know that these things are mutually exclusive.
True, and he slipped in too, Brandon, because we had a rule for this pod, which is no two questions from one person, and that's our fault. Dave reaps the reward of our mistake.
Wow, Dave, you're already starting off the season well, Dave. Tom Carroll, we all love him. Yeah. Saints defense. I don't know why you have to have one or the other.
There is that kind of game week one thing where you just want to put out the best possible game week one team you can. So if I had Forster and Tom Carroll, like, I'm not going to get returns from one of those two. Well, okay. I mean, that's not true, but if I get returns from Carroll, I'm probably not going to get returns from Forster. So, there is that.
It's feeling, a tricky way,
which is a silly way to think really, but it's,
I think we talked about this a few times last season. Like, you just can't play game week to game week and right. Set your team relying on a particular result.
No, that's true. You can't expect complete perfection every. I mean, you can try to make your team as good as possible. I mean, try to maximize points. I think you could start Tom Carroll. He looked really good in the offseason, and I think he's a pretty locked in starter. If Gylfi Sigurdsson leaves, as it looks like he's going to, then he's even more valuable.
Josh, before we move on to do our team preview, I think you have a few thank yous that you need to say.
I do, and I'm going to try to make this I'm going to make this as painful as possible for everyone listening, so expect some pain. But acknowledgement must be paid, Brandon, because this podcast is a Patreon-supported podcast. It's 100% Patreon-supported, which is a testament to all the people out there who have been generous enough with their money. So it's really much appreciated. So quick thank you to Rory McDonald, Morgan Evans, Joseph Alvarez, Cameron Spanner, Simon Bone, Thomas Roller, Daniel Mitford, Tom Campbell, Leo, Simon Eagles, Jason Walker, Christopher Gelke, Jamie Bakewell, Ricardo Preda, Marcus Silva, Malthar Rowe, Damian Fitzpatrick, and Colin Schatz. Thank you to all of you for pledging, and you should have all your league codes by now, but if you don't, please let me know, and I'll get those to you right away. It's two league codes right now. It's the head-to-head league code, and then there's the Patreon Supporters League as well. Winner of that gets a subscription to Fantasy Football Magazine, and winner of the head-to-head, winner of both leagues will be invited to appear on the podcast as well. We're starting the Survivor League a few weeks into the season to give everybody time to enjoy the fantasy game. And then when things start going bad, then you have this fun for Survivor League to join.
So, hat tip to Jamie Bakewell. Do you think he changed his name just as a homage to our Great British Bake Off theme that we have in the Patreon page?
I think he did. Yes. So if you want to join, you go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. And if you join by August 11th, then you're eligible to join our head-to-head league.
Thanks again to everybody. All right, Josh, let's take a quick break. We'll be back for our final Game Week 1 fixture preview.
All right.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
All right, Josh, we're back for our final section of our Game Week 1 preview. We're just going to run through these fixtures real quick, see what jumps out at us as maybe clean sheet opportunities, fixtures where we might want to think about captaining, that sort of thing. And we start off this Friday. Arsenal host Leicester City. After watching the Charity Shield, Josh, what's your prediction here?
Well, I think that do I think there's a reasonable chance of an Arsenal clean sheet? I guess I don't. Arsenal typically have not started the season very well. They often lose a winnable home game, their first match of the season, before going on like a six match winning streak. I really like. I actually have two. In theory, I have two forwards in this game. I have Lacazette and I have the Nacho Man. I think there's a good chance that the Nacho Man is still in my squad, and that Lacazette turns into Harry Kane. But we shall see. So I think Arsenal probably does win this game. I guess, you know.
I think there are goals in this game, so I wouldn't be shy about betting on any attackers on either side.
My prediction is that Alexis Sanchez does return and plays 30 minutes in the second half and picks up an assist for a four-pointer.
Wow, that is intriguing. Mm-hmm. And the assist is, of course, to Olivier Giroud.
It's also a sub. Yeah, two subs.
Rewarding no one.
0-0 until those two subs come on.
All right, Saturday, the big chunk of fixtures. Liverpool is away at Watford. Very curious to see how this one plays out. I think I'm going to end up, if Brito stays in my team, I'll start him. I sincerely doubt Watford keeps a clean sheet, but Marco Silva could really transform this club.
We'll see. I expect a big Liverpool win here, though. I love the way they looked really good in the offseason, and everything's clicking right now with that team. And Mane is back now, too, so that is a terrifying lineup.
It sure is, yeah. Assuming Coutinho stays with Liverpool, that midfield is going to be pretty intoxicating.
That's like a 3-1 Liverpool win or something like that.
Chelsea hosting Burnley?
I expect a big Chelsea win here. I think the goals might be spread out. I think that if you can talk yourself into Marcos Alonso, I think that he could pick up... This could be like a 15-point type game for Marcos Alonso. I thought he looked pretty attacking in today's match. Didn't pick up any... I'm not even sure he had a shot on goal or anything like that, but he was certainly forward like he always is.
Victor Moses with the goal. Come on now. Get in.
That was weird. That guy never scores.
Willian he's on the bubble for me, but I do like... I think Willian walks away from this game with a few FPL points.
Yeah. I think that's definitely possible.
All right. Palace Huddersfield...
I think Palace, I've watched a lot of Palace randomly this offseason. I like Zaha a lot. I actually saw Zaha, I saw Palace play yesterday. I caught their friendly against, I think it was Schalke. And Zaha looks good, man. And I actually, Ruben Loftus-Cheek looks pretty good too. It's like the wisdom on him is kind of spun from like everyone has him to nobody wants to, like, it's kind of all over the place.
Been a big backlash with him, I think, the last couple of weeks.
Big backlash with him. But I think that he is a 4.5 million player. He's playing pretty far forward. So I can understand the temptation. I wonder if he ends up making his way into my squad. If I I don't want to do that because it's kind of like the John Stones thing. Last year, I was like, if you bring in John Stones, you're a moron. John Stones, first of all, that defense is unsettled, and he's not even a sure starter. And I think he picked up like 0-0, 1-0 in the first four games last season.
It was brutal on Stones, yeah.
It was brutal. So it could be another Loftus-Cheek thing where everything I've said is don't pick up Loftus-Cheek, and then I just go and do it anyway. It's not that I don't think he's capable of doing well. I just think that his ownership is too high, and I don't want that, I don't want a big price drop if it doesn't work out.
Right. I'm not scared of Huddersfield in this match. I've had Ince and I still have Mooney in my team. I've been definitely dabbling with Huddersfield's attack. Palace is, they don't actually keep a great tight.
This could be like a 1-1 draw or something like that.
Yeah, of course. All right, next it's Everton Stoke. Wayne Rooney, has he played his way into your team Rune Pig Genesis yet, Josh?
He has not, although Sandro, who I think is 7.5 million, did score today. And once Everton gets out of this really rough opening stretch, there's going to be a lot. It's kind of like West Ham. There's just a lot of moving parts, a lot of things that have to settle in. But talk to me in the first wild card, and I bet I have an Everton player or two.
Yeah, and as we discussed in the last episode, Stoke is just a pile of crap right now. Pass.
You want to talk about this stuff like all season long, but realistically, you have to think of this stuff in 6-week blocks, because it's just too hard to plan otherwise.
Right. Southampton Swansea.
Well, I think we're all hoping for a Southampton clean sheet here.
The bus is leaving. Either you're on board or you're going to get left behind. Everyone's here with Southampton.
2-0 Southampton. That's my prediction.
Yeah, I think there are some concerns about Swansea and what kind of game he's going to bring early on for this team because he's been so unsettled.
It does sound like he's probably going to leave now, which is depressing for Swansea fans.
The talk then goes immediately to Tom Carroll because people were pointing this out online. He can slip into that number 10 position.
You can absolutely play Carroll as a fourth midfielder if Gilfie leaves. Absolutely.
Yeah. West Brom Bournemouth, your Nathan Ake pick here is looking pretty good.
Yeah, I think that Bournemouth probably wins this game like 2-0 or 2-1 or something like that. I just don't have a lot of faith in West Brom. And
Jermaine Defoe scores five PKs.
Yeah, I mean, if you're picking West Brom, you're not picking them based on how they looked second half last year or how they looked in the offseason. It's a purely fixtures-based decision.
Yeah, and we all love you, Jay Rodriguez, but you're as far from a game-changing transfer as it gets.
Yeah, sadly, yeah.
Brighton Man City, this one could be just like the match of the weekend. Like, yeah. At least five goals, you think Man City scores here?
They could. Yeah, God. Talk like that makes me want to have a Man City forward. Well, Brighton is really good at home. They kept, I think, the most clean sheets of any championship side at home last season. It's a little Burnley-ish. So I think that I actually think that Man City might be slightly contained just because Brighton's going to be so like fired up about this first match, you know, right? I mean, yeah. I don't know how long it's been since they were last in the Premier League. So, I do think City wins, but I think it's like 3-1.
Interesting. Clean sheet wipeout for Vincent Kompany.
Sadly.
All right, then we move to Sunday, Newcastle Spurs. I think we both like Spurs winning handily here.
Yep, and I think this is where your captains are going to be found. I would either want a captain, well, you can captain whoever you want, but I think...
Sunday is captain day.
It's captain day. I think that I am probably going to captain Lukaku in the next match, but I think that Kane is a perfectly good captain choice away to Newcastle.
I guess just going back to that City match... It is the first game of the season, always dicey results, but De Bruyne or any attacking player for Man City is an interesting option.
Yeah, it feels like that Liverpool squad last year, like, which one do you pick? You know, it's like, it feels like a gamble, like which, they're not all going to score. I mean, they might, but it's not likely.
All right, I currently have the armband on Lukaku for this Man United West Brom fixture that ends Sunday.
Same here, and I'm going to figure out a way to bring in a Man U defender. I just don't know who it's going to be yet.
Yeah, I think you have to. I think that's a smart pick. Clean sheet. I think United clean sheets are going to be a big thing this season.
Yeah,
it's my early prediction.
Well, it could be in the second season with Mourinho, right? It's like he always delivers.
Yeah. Right. Okay, are we ready for game week one?
I think so. I'm ready. I feel good. I'm excited.
Well, thanks to everyone for listening. Follow along. Find us on Twitter, at Hail Cheaters. Follow us on Facebook or like us, to use the nomenclature. Mm-hmm. Facebook.com/alwayscheating. What else do people do? You can join the Always Cheating Super League. You can find that code on all of our sites.
Yeah, we found it on our website, alwayscheating.com, and definitely check that site out. You can also email us with any questions or thoughts or whatever at hailcheaters@gmail.com.
All right, Josh, good luck to you and all of our cheaters in game week one. It's going to be a great season.
That's right. Thanks, Brandon. And remember, tell your friends about the Always Cheating Podcast. It's a pathetic plea. Pogba can't shoot. See you later.
Poku forever. Always Cheating!